I didn't realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a backseat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills, so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we are inside the Quicken Loans Studios here in Houston. It is time now. We're going to shift gears. We're going to listen to America's premier sports psychologist and the teacher that teaches today's top professionals. Dr. Bob Rotella has been on our show in the past, and it's a true pleasure to have him back with us tonight at YSR. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening. Biggie.
Congratulations on your latest release and the new book that is out. It is titled How Champions Think in Sports and in Life. And I know we've highlighted your books in the past. In fact, you've produced eight other ones. How is this one different?
Well, this is the others have been primarily about golf, and this is more about all sports in life and business and how you can apply these principles in your daily life or at work.
It is. Dr. Bob Rotella with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And, you know, as you have talked about throughout your book, I mean, you've advised truly some of the biggest and the best and the brightest in sports how to flourish under pressure and how to overcome challenges. What were some of the performance principles that you share that how to deal with competitive situations?
I'd say number one is you got to have some big ideas and big dreams in your head. And I think too many people have bought in the idea of setting 50-50 goals that they call realistic. And, you know, all my teaching is, hey, we create our own reality. Mm-hmm. And so you better really think about what you're going to chase and what you're going after because, you know, you are what you think about yourself and you become what you think about yourself. So I want people to really have big ideas and big dreams. And then understand it takes a lot of confidence and a lot of day-to-day commitment and you're going to have a lot of struggles and disappointments. That you have to get through and you have to stay up while you're going through them. I'd say number two would be you really have to be an optimist. You have to have this feeling that things are going to turn out really, really good for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we talk a lot about you creating your own destiny. I mean, that you have to create this feeling that you're destined to do something incredibly wonderful with your life. In a world where most people tend to feel like, good stuff like that just doesn't happen to people like me. Mm-hmm. And so it's you have to feel special at least when you're doing your work. Now, I'm always telling my players, I mean, I want you to feel like you own the world when you step on the field or court or do your thing. But when you go home to your family and friends, I want them to remember that just because they're great in their career, it doesn't mean they're bigger than life, better than life, or more important than anyone else in life. I think that's a healthy perspective that we're trying to get everyone to buy into. That's a big piece of the puzzle. And, you know, a lot of people, when you start talking about confidence, I mean, immediately start talking about, well, you know, I don't want to get too confident. And I will say, well, what would that be? They go, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. When it's time to perform, I don't know what overconfidence is. I mean, I think it's pretty much illogical and impossible and non-existent. When you're full of yourself, you turn it loose and you just let it go. And you go unconscious and you go off instinct and you totally trust yourself. And when you don't trust yourself, or some people will try to, you know, say to me, well, I kind of trusted myself. Oh, well, then you probably didn't. You know, I don't think there's any kind of trust. You either do or you don't. And, you know, at the highest levels, I mean, like, you know, you look at these basketball playoffs right now, if you just took the Bulls and the Cavaliers, because I spent some time with LeBron, I spent some time with Derrick Rose, you go, well, there's, you know, two great teams and two great players with really big ideas and big dreams. and someone's going to win and someone's going to lose. So you got to be able to deal with the hurt or the disappointment or the discouragement. They both made game-winning shots the last two games. But they're great because they had the courage to take the shots.
Hey, America's premier sports psychologist, Dr. Bob Rotella, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio at the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. Love for you to join us online and join into the conversation at Twitter, at eRadioSports. We are shining the spotlight on Dr. Bob's new book that he has just released. It is a compelling read, How Champions Think in Sports and in Life. And let's hit the hardwood. I mean, you were just highlighting, talking about LeBron James, Derrick Rose. Yeah, they've hit these game winners. And I know in the past, you have worked with winners of 84 major golf championships on the men, the women, the senior tour. But tell us, what was that experience like working with LeBron James? We know he's got the physical tools, the skill set on the court, but what about his mental approach to the game?
Well, I think you're certainly impressed with his physical presence, but what was most impressive about him is, you know, he'll look you in the face and say, I want to be the greatest player ever, and I've got to become a better three-point shooter. I got to become a better free-throw shooter. I have to become a better leader. I mean, that's what's impressive, that he's willing to take a look inside and be honest about what he needs to get better at and then put a plan together and go live the plan. And, you know, I think he continues to evolve and he keeps getting better and better at it. But, you know, it's an attitude. It's, you know what, it's a lot like you. Having a radio show called The Big E.
Yeah.
I mean, now that's an attitude, you know?
A little bit of moxie.
Elvin Hayes probably sits at home and goes, gosh, love that woman. You know?
Hopefully he does tune in to us right here at YSL.
I imagine he'd listen. Why wouldn't he listen to you? But, I mean, but there is an attitude, and there has to be a feeling about yourself. And I think he has a lot of that, and yet he's very down to earth. I mean, he's got a nice family. He's great with his kids. I mean, he's got his life squared away. He gets away with his teammates. He's coachable. You know, he's really, I mean, even his organization that he put together with his high school basketball teammates. I mean, you know, so he's been a guy who's had big ideas and big dreams for a long time in a lot of different parts of his life, and is very admirable. He's a very bright guy.
America's premier sports psychologist, Dr. Bob Rotella, is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. We are shining the spotlight on his brand new book, How Champions Think in Sports and in Life. We got to step aside for a quick commercial break. We will be right back and rejoin with Dr. Bob Rotella. Stay close. Hey, Dr. Bob Rotella is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Got to share a little bit about Dr. Bob's background. He was the director of sports psychology for 20 years at the University of Virginia. He is the ultimate performance coach. And I want to get some more insight on your time that you did spend with LeBron James. From what I've listened to LeBron, he talks about a lot the mental approach to the game, that it's 50% of what it takes to be a champion. So what were the things that he asked you in terms of some of the suggestions that he was looking to glean from you, so to take his game to that next level?
Number one was really changing his whole image of himself as a three-point shooter. He knew that he had to change the way he thinks about himself as a shooter. He knew he had to, you know, really create a picture of him being a great shooter and wanting shots in big situations. I think he then put a plan together for really, you know, how many shots a day was he going to have to make off a hard cut and dribble and a hard cut and catch with a great defender guarding him. And then he had to go execute the plan. And that's where people really start separating themselves. I mean, he goes and lives it. And, you know, a lot of people, once they get to that level, you're in the NBA, you're making big money, you're a star, it's easy to start deciding that, okay, I've done it. I'm good enough. I don't have to keep improving. I think what's so impressive about him is he's got, you know, his standards are probably higher than anybody else's standards for him. And that's very impressive. And I think he really wanted to learn a lot about being a leader. I remember we talked a lot about Michael Jordan and Bill Russell. I told him I thought they were the two greatest players because they won the most team championships. And mm-hmm. then if you want to be, you know, the greatest of all time, well, I mean, you've got to help your teams win. It's not just about you being a really good player. There's been a lot of really great players who didn't become the greatest of the greats because their teams didn't win. So in team sports, you can't do it alone. And I mean, it's very impressive watching his relationship with his teammates. I mean, he's a leader, but he's a friend, he's a supporter, even in the game the other night. I mean, early in the game, he's helping everybody else build their confidence and getting them open shots. But when the game was on the line, it was very clear he wanted the shot. And, you know, making it was fantastic. But, you know, you're going to miss your share, too, but you got to be willing to miss if you're going to take it.
Oh, it was a memorable buzzer beater in Game 4. The Cavs defeat the Bulls 86-84. Hey, we're going one-on-one with Dr. Bob Rotella tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to encourage you to go out and get a copy of his brand-new book, How Champions Think in Sports and in Life. And I got to share with the audience tonight, Bob, you know, what does LeBron James have in common with LPGA legend Pat Bradley?
Well, number one, both LeBron and Pat came to me and basically said, I want to be the greatest. And, I mean, Pat was 31 years old when I started working with her, and she had won one time in 11 years on tour and looked me in the face and said, I want to be in the Hall of Fame. I want to be Player of the Year at least once, and I want to win all the majors at least once. And the next 8 years, I watched her win 31 tournaments in 7 out of the 8 majors. You know, it's that vision in their heads, even long before it happens, that makes these people special. And I think both of them can really lock in with kind of a laser vision and a determination to go do the things that they want to do. But that happens. I think the discipline, the day-to-day motivation comes out of having the vision in their head. In other words, they see it in their head long before it happens. And that's the way it works for all of us. But these people are willing to acknowledge it and admit it to themselves, mm-hmm. that it's a big piece of the puzzle.
Now, we highlighted LeBron. Talk to me about Derrick Rose. Of course, in 2011, the youngest MVP in history to win, you know, the MVP title. And, of course, he, in Game 3, we just think back. I mean, he too hits banks in that game winner. What's your perception of him as a competitor?
Well, you know, he's tougher than nails. When you look back and look at the injuries he's gone through, and if you think about it, I mean, I don't think Bill Russell or Michael Jordan or even LeBron at this point in career have gone through the injuries that he's gone through. He's gone through some pretty significant injuries, and the energy and intensity he's put into his rehabbing is just so impressive. And this year, for him to have surgery and then come back for the playoffs and be playing as fearlessly as he's playing, it gives you a clear picture of how badly he wants this. I think he wants it for his team, he wants it for his city, and he wants it for himself. And, you know, so here's two of the greatest players ever, maybe. I mean, going head-to-head with their teams, and just, it's making for a great playoff, I mean, series, that's for sure.
You know, Derrick Rose, as you just said, you know, he's overcome some tough injuries. Do you think he's back to 100% and to that MVP level? Because as we've witnessed, I mean, he's attacking the basket. He is, in your words, as you said, I mean, he's playing fearless.
No, I don't see any signs of him being afraid of contact. And I would say that, and this happens often when a basketball player gets injured, if anything, I'd say his shooting is better. I mean, and I think what happens is when you can't run and jump, you spend a lot of time just spot shooting in place, and you end up becoming a better shooter. I mean, we've seen guys break their right hand if they're a right-handed player and develop an unbelievable left hand during the time that they're injured. So, I mean, it's not uncommon, but Derek didn't just sit around and do nothing. He was rehabbing and shooting. But, yeah, he's got a resiliency that's very admirable.
You know, it's one thing to prepare to rehab. Is that the key to overcoming that fear from, you know, going through so many injuries?
You know, when you get a serious injury, you go through the same stages people go through in dealing with death and dying. I mean, you know, you begin with totally denying that you're hurt, and then you get really, really mad, and then you resist it, and then finally you accept it and you get on with the rehab. And it the quicker you can get on with the rehab, the better. But, I mean, you're going to go through a lot of pain. And, you know, every time you have a new injury, you don't have a whole lot of experience with it. So you have to learn, you know, how hard do I push myself? You know, a guy like Derek, the tendency is to want to push yourself too hard and go too fast. And what you have to do is back them off and get them to just, look, just do what the therapist and doctors are telling you to do, and everything will work out fine. So, I mean, you can't baby yourself, but you also can't push so hard that you cause yourself more problems.
We are quickly running out of time with Dr. Bob Rotell. Of course, the title of his new book is How Champions Think in Sports and in Life. Of course, we did highlight your time with LeBron James, Derrick Rose. Can you give us a quick hit on John Calipari, of course, with his Kentucky Wildcats?
Well, I think John is one of the most energetic, passionate people. And I've worked a lot with John for the last 20 years. He just really loves basketball players. He loves the game of basketball. And he's got this picture in his head that if a kid comes and plays for him, he's going to help him have a great future in the NBA and have a great life. And he feels like he's going to change the history of their families. And, you know, that's a lot of what John's about. I mean, that's what he gets up for and talks about constantly.
Right.
And he just kind of loves doing it. He's got his passion is pretty mind-boggling. But he spends a lot of time getting these kids to understand that with success, there's a lot of giving back to hospitals, to handicapped individuals. And so, I mean, he really teaches that there's more to it than just becoming great and making a lot of money, and that it gives you the power to make people feel good. John's a gatherer. He really loves having a lot of people around him, and he has the kids at his house all the time, and he has a lot of individual meetings. But, you know, I think he and I share the idea that it's all about going for greatness. It's, you don't get it all the time. You don't always get the number one spot or outcome, but you got to go after it. And I just love how his teams, they really play with lots of energy at both ends of the court, and they're very unselfish. And you know what? They can look in the mirror when the season's over every year
right.
And go, well, we gave it everything we got, and this is what we got this year.
It's been such an honor to have with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, Dr. Bob Rotella. Go out and get a copy of his new book, How Champions Think in Sports and in Life. What a pleasure. Continue, and we just wish you continued success, and we'll catch up with you again real soon. Thank you so much, Dr. Rotella.
Great talking to you, Alyssa.
Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Elissa Walker-Campbell, I want to welcome you back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember, to listen to the show on the go, just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That is streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. And in our next segment, we're going to focus our attention on some NBA news and notes, the 2015 NBA playoffs, an outlook on some of the series. But first, let's take time to welcome back to YSR NBA writer, author, blogger, and CNN World Sports contributor, the great Motez Bashara. Hello, good evening, Motez.
Thank you so much. What a flattering introduction.
Oh, well, you deserve it. So we've got a number of series that we're anxious to get your thoughts on, but the big, big news, the Pelicans fire coach Monty Williams on Tuesday after five seasons. They part ways after the Pelicans. This is so puzzling and disturbing, really. 45 games they won this year. They advanced to the first round of the playoffs in a very tough Western Conference. What was your reaction? I mean, how surprised were you with this decision?
Not surprised, really, because I think there are only a very few handful of coaches in the NBA that are not on the hot seat at any given time. I'd say maybe five, and the other 25 are always, you know, a little bit nervous, shall we say. And here's the ironic thing about Monty Williams. Just as the Pelicans started getting good again after the departure of Chris Paul, they decided maybe they needed to upgrade. And what I've heard is that John Calipari is on their radar. So they had a whiff of an idea that maybe they could get Coach C from Kentucky. And, you know, it took having that seat free in order to maybe garner some interest from him. So just even on the slightest chance that they might be able to get him, they were willing to sacrifice that seat in Monty Williams' place as coach.
Well, and certainly that could be the motivation for the firing, but I have to just tell you, I mean, personally, I was so stunned and disappointed in the news. I mean, I really thought Monty Williams had just done a terrific job. I mean, each and every year, I mean, they were trending upward. They were moving in the right direction. 27 over the past 3 years, 27 wins, 34 and 45. To me, he seemed like he was maximizing the potential on the roster.
Well, I agree, but sometimes they think that this, you know, coach just doesn't have playoff experience, or he doesn't have that marquee name that's going to attract free agents. And they think, okay, well, this guy's good. We've maxed out what he can do for us now. But in order to get to the next level, we need a big name guy, you know, a guy like a Calipari, or like Billy Donovan going to Oklahoma City. I'm just trying to get in the headspace of what management thinks in these cases. We don't know the behind-the-scenes, goings-on in New Orleans. Maybe he didn't get along with management. Ownership is also, things are going on with the ownership there in New Orleans. Tom Benson is a little old. There's a lot of, there's some financial shenanigans going in the background between people and his family. So we don't know all the ins and outs of what's happened in New Orleans, but my guess is that they're trying to get Calipari, and they thought the best way to do that is to free up the seat.
You know, Motaz, you said that you weren't surprised by the decision. It certainly speaks to the volatility within the NBA, but do you think it was a mistake?
Is this a mistake? I guess we'll find out next year. It could be a mistake, because when a new coach comes in, he doesn't know his personnel as well as the guy who was there for a few years. Normally, there is an adjustment period of a season to get to know what you've got. I mean, obviously, Steve Kerr was the opposite of that. He totally bucked that trend. And that, a lot of people thought it was a huge mistake that they got rid of Mark Jackson in Golden State. It turned out to be, their best season ever. So I guess only time will tell, really.
So who is your choice? Who would be your selection as we move ahead to be that new head coach for the Pelicans?
Hey, it's tough, I mean, they've got Anthony Davis, and that's why they're thinking about Coach C, because obviously he mentored him in that 1 year at Kentucky and turned him into a stud. And I would be really fascinated to see Calipari come back to the NBA, because I think 50% at least of his success in college is all due to recruiting. Obviously, in the NBA, there's no such thing as recruiting. It's all about free agency and how you work the system under the salary cap. That is something Calipari has no experience in, nor will he really be involved in that. So I just from a fan's point of view, I would love to see them give it a go. I don't really have any other super strong candidates that come in, but everyone seems to either be going for players that just retired, a la Jason Kidd, or guys coming out of the college ranks. So we'll just have to wait and see how that goes.
You are listening to the voice of Motaz Bashara this evening at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, NBA writer, author, and CNN World Sports contributor. We talk about John Calipari potentially being a candidate. What about Tom Thibodeau?
How interesting. Now, he's still alive in the playoffs. So, that's interesting that you think that he could be on the hot seat. I know when I came on your show last time, I did mention that I think he would be gone after the season.
Right.
You know what? I think it all depends on whether they get out of this playoff series. If they beat the Cavs, there's no way they can fire Coach Tibbs. I think he will have exceeded everyone's expectations. However, it's amazing. They were a sliver of a hair away from going up 3-1 in the series, if not for a few things that went on at the very end of the game, not to mention LeBron's game-winning shot at the very last second. But they really could have almost closed out the series, and here they are now struggling, and it looks like they're actually not going to get through against Cleveland. If they don't, I agree. I think Tibbs is on the firing line. He's been there a number of years. I think his style is exhausting for his players, not just physically, but also emotionally, the way he rides their back all the time. Whether that will work in a team that's kind of bubbling like New Orleans, it's really tough to say. He will have probably the best defender in the league, or one of the top two or three in Anthony Davis, and he's a defensive coach. So, You know, why not? I mean, if he's a candidate, he will be one of the strongest people out there, sure.
One of the things I have to agree with you is I think that Anthony Davis, I mean, he could have a very big influence on who the next coach is. I mean, they don't want to run the risk of alienating their marquee player.
Oh, no, God, no. He's the future MVP. You can put that down.
Amen, yes. Mm-hmm.
They already lost one marquee guy in Chris Paul. I used to live in New Orleans, and New Orleans is a city that really, it's a small town, and it really embraces star athletes. Obviously, Archie Manning years and years ago, Drew Brees now, Chris Paul recently, and Anthony Davis is the next guy. And, you know, it's heartbreaking for that city to lose marquee names. So you're right. They have to keep him, and they will do whatever it takes to keep him, I'm sure. I'm sure they'll probably run a few names by him.
Hey, Motez Bashara with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'd love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports. You can email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Motez Bashara is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. And I just have to say, as we move forward in our interview, I mean, Monte Williams, I mean, what a class act. I don't know if you watched kind of that exit interview and just how he responded. I mean, he's obviously a man of great faith, and I'm very confident that he will land on his feet on someone's staff or leading an organization.
Yeah, the good news for Williams is that it's a small coaching fraternity, and he's young, so he will absolutely get another shot. He might have to take an assistant coaching job for a few years, but, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Yes, coaching positions don't last very long. However, they open up all the time, so he will have more interviews, and, he'll have to prove himself again, but, you know, I'm sure he'll land on his feet.
Okay, it is Friday night, and one of the games we're obviously keeping our close watch on is the Warriors and the Grizzlies. How do you see this game playing out?
Boy, I'll tell you what. Before Tony Allen got injured in the last game, I thought Memphis was going through. I would have put money on it. But he's hurt. They will go back home. I think if he can give them 75%, I think they'll get through and go to a Game 7 in Golden State. And then it'll be a tough call, but I do see Golden State prevailing just because it's so hard to win a Game 7 on the road, especially in a place like Golden State. I really, really like Memphis's chances. They buckle down on perimeter defense, and I think in the West they're the best matchup against Golden State. However, that injury was very costly to them. Obviously, Mike Conley is probably not 100% either. So I do see Golden State advancing in seven games.
Well, I certainly agree with you, but just the value, as you're talking about with Memphis, the defensive value of Tony Allen, I mean, he is a tremendous asset, and just that defensive presence that he provides.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they always talk about Mike Conley being underrated. I mean, he's so underrated that he's not underrated at all anymore. But Tony Allen is the one that nobody ever really talks about.
Right.
And when you go to a game and you watch a guy play, you know, he's all over the other guy's star player and usually mitigates their effectiveness. So we can see without him in the game, they were really missing something.
You've been listening to Motez Bashara tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, author, NBA writer, and of course with CNN, he's a world sports contributor. Got to also give a shout out for the book that he released about a year and a half ago. It is titled Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan. Always an open invitation, and you need to pack your bags and come on down to Houston. We would love to have you in studio. Open invitation. Thank you, Motez.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Normal data rates apply. And right now it's time to go to our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. And don't look now, but he's back in studio. So good to see from YSR our very own Andy Pondillo. Good evening, Andy.
Always excited to be here.
It's wonderful to have you back. And wow, the big, big story. The Rocky shortstop, Troy Tulowitzki, wanting to be traded. What's going on there?
Well, that's going to be an interesting deal. There was rumblings about this last season. He's unhappy with the Colorado Rockies. Signed a mega deal a few years ago. The thing I always ask is when these players sign these long-term contracts of over $100 million, and a couple years in, they want to be traded. why did they sign with an organization like the Rockies to begin with? Not exactly a staple for success. Now, of course, Troy came up in 2007 when they made their World Series run, very improbable, had Todd Helton to lean on. But now he's become the guy. He's been injured often, but when he's on the field, as good of a hitting shortstop as baseball has seen since Nomar Garciaparra. Can he stay healthy is the question. You know, the Mets are interested. The Dodgers are interested. Are they going to take on that money? Are they going to take on the years? I go back and forth whether a deal is worth it for these teams to make based on his injury history. But Troy Tulowitzki, if he gets dealt, this will be trade of the year, in my opinion. That's a lot of production the Rockies would lose from that lineup.
Absolutely. That is substantial. Hey, it's our MLB news and notes, and our very own Andy Pondillo is with us back tonight at YSR. So you just mentioned the Mets. How about the Mets? I mean, the NL East, I mean, they're enjoying the benefits of an 11-game winning streak in first place. But don't look now. Here comes the National and the Marlins.
Yeah, the Mets had a really good start to the season. They've kind of leveled off. I feel like the Mets story and the Astros story have been pretty similar. Teams that a lot of people felt were on the rise, but they didn't feel like they were there yet. And then they get on these winning streaks, and all of a sudden, all the expectations change. The Mets, you know, talking about Troy Tulowitzki now, where a year ago, you were just happy to finish 500 or be close to it. So things can change quick. They played about, you know, I believe a little bit under 500 ball since that winning streak, right around 500. And while they still hold first place, the Miami Marlins have figured out how to play baseball again, and the Washington Nationals have really been led by Bryce Harper, something that these fans, the national media, SportsCenter, everyone's been waiting for Bryce Harper to just go off. We all knew about his potential. He's starting to show it on the field. The question again, this is the theme with a lot of superstars in baseball right now, can he stay healthy? He hasn't even gotten through 2 months of the season yet. I want to see him do this for 600 at-bats.
Oh, Andy, you are so spot on, and I'm glad you bring up Bryce Harper. He's hitting like a superstar. My gosh, what, 31 RBIs to date?
Yes, incredible season so far, an MVP caliber season up to this point. The Nationals really needed that. Anthony Rendon on the disabled list. Ryan Zimmerman really hasn't been Ryan Zimmerman of old yet, though he's starting to show some signs of breaking out of it. And really this team, the Washington Nationals, there is so much depth to it that not everything has to always be firing on all cylinders for them to be a successful unit. They've really been able to lean on Bryce in the middle of that order. They're still going to need more. They're going to need something from Jason Worth. They're going to need Zimmerman to be the Zimmerman of old. And for me, I feel like for them to make a World Series run, Anthony Rendon is just as important as Bryce Harper. Those two young guys back-to-back in the lineup, you look for difference makers on good teams. Those two are difference makers. They need Rendon back, though right now they're looking pretty good.
Hey, Andy Pondillo is with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We always like to pause and have you connect with Andy. Tell them where they can check you out online.
They can check out my Astros work at climbingtileshill.com. The podcast is Astro Chat.
Okay, so Andy, since we're talking about the NL East, the top three teams, they have inflated win totals. How do you see them in terms of like even with postseason play? We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
See, I think these three are going to be highly benefited going into postseason play because they play in the same division as the Phillies and the Braves. A lot is always made about win totals, and win totals are good for getting you into playoffs. In some divisions, 98 wins doesn't mean what 98 wins means in another. And I think that's going to be the case when you look at the NL East. Three competitive teams, yes. I feel like these teams are all going to beat each other up. But I also feel like these teams are going to really boost win totals when they can win 10, 11, 13 games off the Philadelphia Phillies, off the Braves. Teams that are probably going to fall apart in the middle of the season and really have no interest in even competing this year as they look to get high draft picks next season. I feel like that puts the Mets, Marlins, and the Nationals all in a position to where I think you could see three playoff teams from this division this season.
Okay, Andy Pondillo is back with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. He's joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Let's go in our backyard. Talk to us about the Astros, because they certainly, Andy, when you've said it many times on our show, I mean, they really have exceeded expectations this season.
They have. They've been a bit of a roller coaster ride in the last week, but that's to be expected. I feel like people get their hopes up sometimes. They see these winning streaks. I think the team's always going to be like this. And the Astros, while they have a lot of depth, while they've shown a lot of success from the starting rotation at the top, Dallas Keuchel, Colin McHugh, yet they're a team that still, they don't have that identity in Major League Baseball where they're going to be a dominant team. You know, they're now, when they win that, they had that 10-game winning streak, these teams are going to take these guys a little more seriously. They're not going to rest their players on the day game after a night game like they used to. They're going to want to beat the Astros and know that they have to put forward their best effort. Not to say a team doesn't do that every single day, but you know, there are certain organizations where you're going to relax your players a little more. You're going to have them take those days off. Once you start winning games, that seems to stop happening versus the good teams. Astros, they're just going to have to continue to make adjustments. They've been exploited at the plate recently with their strikeouts. They've had trouble manufacturing runs. They haven't been using 27 outs to their advantage. Too many strikeouts again. Yet, they still find a way, you know, to win about half their games. Been playing about 500 ball since the winning streak. So, all things considered, it's not really that bad.
You know, I know that you're in many of those games. What kind of response are you seeing from the fans? Are they starting to come back out because the Astros are playing better ball?
A little bit, not a lot. I would be interested to see what happens after school's over to see if that boosts attendance a little more. But I think it's going to take a lot of sustained success to really get the fans back in Houston. They've been neglected from good baseball for so long, for a decade since the Astros went to the World Series, their last playoff appearance. So this fan base, they want to believe. I feel like the core fan base has come back, just the 1%ers, the 5%ers, people that really, really know this team. But the mainstream fan, a little harder to attract right now, especially with the Rockets in this deep playoff run. I feel like it's kind of split the attention. It's progress. That's the biggest thing this year. The whole thing about the Astros this year is progress. Playoffs would be nice. A nice late season run would be awesome. Carlos Correa coming to the majors would be awesome. But more importantly, getting above 500, seeing progress, and then maybe the fans start to believe after that.
What is your view of the AL West right now?
The AL West has been disappointing when you look at it as a whole for these teams. The Mariners, they've really let a lot of fans down to where they're almost in panic mode right now. The Oakland Athletics, they restructure their team. They come off at the beginning of the year just banging the ball out all over the place. But, you know, now they have a pretty bad record. The Rangers, kind of eh. And then, obviously, the Angels, I think that would be a lot of people's favorites. Mine were the Mariners, but the Angels, you know, what they did last year with the 98-win season, their lineup leaves a lot to be desired. However, Mariners, Angels, these teams can turn it around. I believe that they're going to be in that hunt towards the end of the year. Garrett Richards coming off surgery, he looks absolutely filthy this year, hitting 96 on the radar gun regularly. Jared Weaver, he doesn't throw hard anymore. Can he be that top of the rotation guy? That might be the difference for the Angels. The thing about these teams that they've shown in recent years is they're not shy to make midseason moves. And if they're trailing the Astros in mid-July, they're going to try and fix that problem and go for it. Astros, well, they may not be in go-for-it mode right now. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Very surprising to a lot of people to see the Astros sitting up at first place.
Okay, talking about the Rangers, we didn't get a chance to visit on this, but your thoughts about Josh Hamilton coming on back to Texas?
That's good for Josh. It's a, you know, I think that's where he had a lot of success. He had a good support group. If I were giving my honest opinion, if he's relapsing, going back into these demons, these dark places that he was in before, I would say Major League Baseball may not be for him. With all the temptations that he's going to have on a daily basis. It's just out there. When you have that kind of money, when you live that kind of lifestyle, when you endure that kind of pain every single day, your body's aching, there's going to be reasons for you to go back to that type of place. I don't think baseball is the best thing for him, though. That's his, you know, that's his ability to play. His ability to play is as good as any players we've seen when he's hitting and doing well. So maybe going back to Texas helps him. That whole situation with the Angels got pretty ugly. I wish for both sides it could have gone a little better, because that could have been a devastating lineup there. Trout, Pujols, Hamilton. It should have worked out better. $125 million to Hamilton. They didn't stand by the commitment they gave him. Now he gets another chance with the Rangers.
Okay, Andy Pondillo has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We got to take time to thank all of our amazing guests and our lineup. Dr. Bob Rotella, America's premier sports psychologist. Of course, we were just talking with Andy Pondillo. J.C. Watts, Sooner great. Bob Berry Jr. with KFOR Television out of Oklahoma City. And Motez Bashara. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the fastest 2 hours in radio right here at Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.